Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. This month's Milwaukee Magazine is devoted to the arts. From artist profiles to a calendar of not-to-be-missed cultural events, the arts issue explores how all of the arts are, or aren't, thriving in our city.
In addition to the profiles and other articles in the issue, the magazine's culture editor, Lindsay Anderson, wrote an overview called The State of the Arts. She joins us now to talk about it. Lindsay, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Great to be here again, Bonnie.
What was the impetus for the article in general? Why now?
Well, at the magazine, we've spent a lot of time lately thinking about areas that the city excels at and areas where it sort of punches above its weight. And we came to the realization that Milwaukee, in a lot of ways, is a great art city, a great performing arts city, a great fine arts city. So we want to just sort of dig into that idea and look into why it punches above its weight and how long it's been doing that for, essentially. So we decided to take a survey of the last roughly 10 years of the city's arts scene and ask a lot of the key players how they feel about the scene here.
So what did you find? Why do people think Milwaukee punches above its weight, or do they think that?
I think most people do tend to believe that. And I think something that came up a lot in the interviews I conducted for the article. Well, a couple things. One, Milwaukee is a cold city in the prairie. There's a lot of wonderful things here, but if we didn't have all of these cultural organizations, the city would just be so much bleaker. There's not necessarily a lot of interesting landscapes or natural resources to draw people here. So I think a lot of the leaders of the city have wisely realized that the arts can be a draw. They can be something that will bring people here and keep people here, want them to stay here. Historically, Milwaukeeans have realized that and invested pretty heavily in the arts here. And then something else that I think came up a lot is that Milwaukeeans are pretty great at sort of working together and working for a greater good when it comes to the health of their arts organizations. The United Performing Arts Fund is the largest performing arts fund of its kind in the country, actually. So it's done a tremendous job of sort of helping these cultural organizations band together and seek out resources. And in general, I think the leaders of a lot of the arts organizations here are just doing a wonderful job of sort of working together to ensure that there's a vital audience here and that all of these organizations are having their needs met.
You mentioned in the article that this kind of cultural support or financial support for the culture exists despite the fact that Wisconsin is, I think, 47th out of 50 in spending, in state spending for the arts. And so we're relying on private donors, essentially, is what this is. Is there any sense or fear that those private donations will dry up?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's always a worry, especially when you think about the fact that a lot of our best-known philanthropists, people like the Baumgartners, are getting up there in years. And I think there's just a concern that there isn't necessarily the same kind of interest in the arts among younger generations. And if there isn't, and that's how we're getting nearly all of our arts funding, that could absolutely be a huge issue.
And even if the younger people do have the interest, they probably don't have the deep pockets.
Right. That's the other thing. Yeah. Financially, they're struggling more, too.
And the other thing, I mean, you say Milwaukeeans value the arts, but you point out, and very rightly, that it was voted down to increase the sales tax by what, 0.5%, not even a percentage point to help support, and nobody wanted to do that.
Right, yes. And Walker also rolled, when he was still governor, he rolled arts funding into the same sort of funding bucket as tourism. And so, yeah, Wisconsin is really struggling as a state in a lot of ways in terms of art funding. And again, that's another concern. But at least for the time being, I think we found that individuals in Milwaukee seem very willing and interested in investing in the arts. They go to plays, they go to concerts, they get out and they go to these spaces.
Well, they're also funding big building projects, too.
Yes.
You point out, you know, the Milwaukee Ballet is moving into the Third Ward. Just down the street here, the MSO is deep in construction in renovating the Grand Theater. And so those kinds of big projects are being funded.
Absolutely.
But you also point out in the article, and again, I believe rightly so, that a lot of that is not going to individual artists. So we sort of seem to have a disconnect between the institutions, which are doing quite well, at least the bigger ones seem to be doing quite well, and then the individual artists that make up the institutions or might not have anything to do with the institutions because they're visual artists and they're not connected to a performing arts fund. So there seems to be that kind of tension going on as well.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's great that people are willing to donate to large organizations, and organizations like the REP and the Milwaukee Art Museum are doing wonderful work and are very financially healthy right now. But if we don't have a local pool of actors and fine artists and musicians living in Milwaukee and able to make a living as artists in Milwaukee, then those institutions aren't going to be able to continue doing what they're doing too. So I think there are a lot of people out there who are trying to think of ways to continue funding all of the major organizations while also lifting up individual artists. There's a woman named Katie Heil. She's created an initiative called Imagine MKE that's going to publicly launch later this year. But the idea behind that initiative is to provide the sort of funding and support to individual artists that we give to big arts organizations.
So sort of a UPAF for individuals.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of survey results have shown that, well, like I said, Milwaukee does punch above its weight in terms of funding for arts organizations. It doesn't in terms of the way that individual artists fare. They're not as well supported.
You also mentioned in the same, I think in the same paragraph about Katie, Christine Harris, who headed up UPAF a long time ago, but then was part of and headed Creative Alliance Milwaukee, which was an early effort to try to bridge that gap between the individual artists and funding and support and that sort of thing. Did she feel that we were any closer in making that gap either get smaller or go away?
That's a good question. I got the impression that she was tentatively optimistic. I mean, she's very heavily involved with Imagine MKE. And she also pointed to the fact that there are a lot of newer sort of incubator programs in the city that are also sort of stepping in to fill that gap. I believe she mentioned Fellowship.art and Backline. Both of those are incubator programs. Fellowship.art is for visual artists and Backline is for musicians. And the idea behind both is that they sort of step in and provide early career or emerging artists with funding they need to sort of launch their careers.
It's seed money,
yes,
essentially.
Seed yeah, exactly.
Like if you were a business making widgets, you know, instead of seed money for that, it's seed money for your creative.
Right.
The thing I find interesting about all of this is that I love the idea of funding creative projects, individual creative projects. I love the idea of people collaborating with themselves in small ways to make things happen, whether it's sharing gallery space or whatever. But the arts aren't a business. I mean, they are. It's show business, but they aren't.
Right.
And so it seems to me that we need new ways of thinking about the value of the arts. We all say that they're important, but then when it comes to actually, we expect them to pay for themselves like a business would, and they aren't usually.
No, that's absolutely true. I think that's one of the interesting things about being a working artist today, though. We live in a time where there's less of a distinction between your private self and your sort of public persona or brand. And I think there is this push. I don't know if it's even necessarily coming from the artists themselves or from outside pressure, but to sort of turn yourself into a brand.
You are your product.
Right, right. Yeah. And In some sense, I think that's a good thing. It gives artists more of a platform and more control over their career and how they make money. But yeah, like you said, artists, no one gets into art to market themselves as an artist. You get into it to make art. So there's definitely some tension between those two
right,
things.
Right, and making art doesn't always follow a logical
right.
progression.
Yeah.
You know, you're not always like, okay, today I'm going to make, you know, some people do, I'm going to make four paintings today or whatever it happens to be. But a lot of times it's very circuitous.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily, as we used to say in New England, you don't get there from here.
I know that phrase. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think there's something you said for these programs sort of stepping in because it creates a space for artists to focus primarily on the work they're creating instead of focusing on how they're going to get their next side gig, how they're going to market themselves. It allows them to spend more time on actually creating their art.
So once you did this and printed the article, I mean, the entire magazine of this issue is about the arts and what's going on here. How hopeful are you? I mean, looking at it from the outside, from a journalistic perspective, you know, what is your sense of where the art scene is and where it's going?
I think we have a lot of reason to be optimistic. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, Wisconsin in general is not faring well. So I think that's some cause for concern. But in general, I feel like our arts organizations, by and large, are very healthy financially. There's a lot of interest in the arts here. And then I'm also just very encouraged to see organizations like younger organizations like Milwaukee Film or No Studios popping up in the city and generating a lot of buzz and excitement. It just sort of feels like that there's, yeah, just sort of a sense of excitement in the air and that people of all ages are invested in the arts and that maybe they're even a little more invested in them or aware of them or proud of them as sort of a Milwaukee product than they were 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, Lindsay Anderson, I want to thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bonnie.
Lindsay Anderson is Milwaukee Magazine's culture editor. This month's issue of Milwaukee Magazine is dedicated to the city's art scene.